Blog Talk Radio.
My mother warned me that some shit can make my right hand. To trust her only, my heart and that elder white man. His name is Clancy, I fancy him, gotta give him prop. He asked the reason why dealerships even let me cop. So now I'm speeding and trying to drive away from the fact that she was right, so I triple left trying to double back. The streets are filled with some clues like how I ain't noticed that. But they up, see some familiar stuck in the cul-de-sac. I pull up, get out, what up? I wanna help, but what you want for some solution and leave don't want for themselves. Now do I stay, do I go? That's my dilemma and traffic is picking up. If I don't leave, I'ma get stuck. So I see off. We talk barely, and it seems off.
What's up? Good evening. Hope everybody's enjoying this nice, crisp Wednesday night. If you're in the Midwest like me, here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Otherwise, you guys probably want, especially in Florida. Screw y'all. But anyway, thank y'all for tuning in to the podcast. This is Scott Burks. It's the Clown Hour. This is the podcast component of my sports blog called The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with K, by the way. You'll be able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you'll find me on Facebook. Just go to the search window in the upper left-hand corner, rather, whether you on your desktop, laptop, or your smartphone, just search for me. Just, again, The Clown Times. You'll be able to find me there as well. Lots to get into, including previewing the NFL Week 7 season, recapping Week 6 a little bit, and later on I'll be giving you my award-winning 2019 NBA preview. But first, remember that game I told y'all about last week, the Bengals-Steelers, you know, the rivalry that's big here, it's just now how, not so much at Pittsburgh, but that's another story for another time. Well, anyway, I made a promise to my podcast partner last week slash homeboy slash line brother that if his Bengals beat my Steelers, then he can come back on here and gloat as much as he wants. However, if my Steelers were to prevail, I was kind of nice at first and gave him the option of, yeah, hey, you can come on and take your punishment like a man, but I decided to throw him anyway and bring him back on. So here to take his punishment, you find him on LockedOnBengals.com. His name is Andre Edwards, Ace. What's going on, brother? Oh, man, you sound like an old school Master P.
I wish there was a na-na-na at the end, man. That would make it a lot better, at least, let me tell you.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get to it, man. Look, you've been cool about this, and granted, even though you would have your fun taking shots at me, and rightfully deserved, I just ask that you have the floor right quick and just ask you the question. Why in the hell do we own y'all? Why is it that every single time, no matter the stakes, no matter the talent level on either side of the field, why do we own y'all? Why is that?
It's just because Marvin Lewis. Can I just say this? Like, let me just say this, and I apologize to all your listeners.
Okay. No, go ahead.
And any Bengals fans out there who may be listening right now, I'm sorry. But the fact of the matter is, Marvin Lewis is a bitch. Like, that, honestly and truthfully, that's the reason why you lose. Because the man plays to not lose. He doesn't play to win. He plays to not lose. And there is a very distinct difference. There's a very distinct difference between playing to win and playing not to lose. Perfect example. We are, the Bengals go down and score before halftime to make it 14-14.
Right.
One of the things that Marvin Lewis preaches and loves is, hey, we will kick off the ball first because the percentages say we will get the last possession of the first half and then, consequently, the first possession of the second half, right? And so if you can go down and score in that last possession of the first half, whether it be 3 or 7, in this case we call it 7 because that's what happened, you then have the opportunity to come out and go for another 7 points. So it could be a 14-point swing in two possessions, and Pittsburgh never touches
sure.
the ball. So in theory, that sounds perfectly fine, right? Cool, let's do that.
Right.
So the Bengals go down and do just that. They score 7 points with the last possession of the first half. Open up the second half, get another fantastic return by my man Alex Erickson, who did the exact same thing to end the first half. And we are now in Pittsburgh territory, and you get to, you know, a very crucial fourth and one from the Pittsburgh 40-yard line. Instead of going for it, Marvin Lewis takes the conservative approach of, well, let's not lose and let's rely on our defense and kick the ball and play field position. What did that result in? Well, it resulted in the Bengals punting the ball and gaining exactly 28 yards of field position. 28 yards. Pittsburgh went, turned around, and drove right down the field and kicked the field goal.
5 yards into a play.
So, right. So you took what could have been the potential to either, one, force it a little closer. If you get the first down, Lord only knows what happens at that point. You have the opportunity to score a touchdown. If nothing else, you are at least pushing closer to the field goal range of your kicker. So you get to take advantage of that. All right, we scored the 7 at half. Now we add on another 3. That's a 10-point swing. Or even potentially, again, going back to the ultimate of we scored 7 and now we score another 7, 14-point swing, and you're back in control of a game, you know, and you're up 21-14 at that point, right? So instead of doing any of that, Marvin Lewis, which would have been playing to win, Marvin Lewis elected to play not to lose, which is, let my defense, who's been getting ran roughshod on pretty much all day, you know, try and protect a tie ball game at that point and gain 28 yards of room. And basically in his interview or his press conference this week, basically, he was like, we were playing field position, and I wasn't going to give Pittsburgh the ball at the 40. Well, you know, you do some quick math, and you do 40 minus 28 puts you on what, the 12? So how much did that really gain you?
Right?
I mean – yes,
right.
28 yards, but, like, what's 28 yards in the grand scheme of things when you could have pushed for a first down and gotten it? It's, or, you know what, you get stopped, you're giving the ball at the 40. What's the difference between that and giving the ball at the 12? They're just going to go down and score anyway. it's annoying, man. It really is. And the Bengals had the ball in Pittsburgh territory 4 times between the 40 and the 50-yard line, and every single time they punted. Every single time. And, like, you can't do that versus a team that is one of the top offenses in the league. You just can't do it. At some point in time, you have to trust your offense, who, when in shotgun and running Joe Mixon, was killing Pittsburgh, killing them. If you go back, and I think Joe Mixon averaged something like 6.5 yards, 6.7 yards, something like that, a pop, every time he touched the ball when running from shotgun. Why not on that 4th and 1, instead of the traditional, you know, let's everybody hunker down and push forward and do whatever? No, spread them out. Go with your run-pass option. Put the ball in the hands of Andy Dalton and Joe Mixon and say, let's go get a yard, boys. Right? I mean, look, you stop me back-to-back plays, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, more power to you. Great. Hey, congratulations, man. But I went for it. And damn it, I'm not going to lose this game because I decided to play stupid field position. I'm not losing the game because of that.
Right. I hear you. You know what? I remember this. This is back in the TJ Who's Your Mama and Chad Johnson days. I think it was the same season where the Bengals won the division, actually, in 2015, 2005, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
And I remember the game was here. It was the first game of the first matchup between those two. And I remember y'all had a fourth and goal from the 1. you had us on our heels. This is early in the game, right? Maybe the first or second quarter. And you opted to kick the field goal.
Yep.
And you end up losing that game by maybe less than a touchdown. So long story short, I remember T.J. Hoosier-Mazzada, when being interviewed in the locker room, said, and I could almost quote this, but I'm kind of paraphrasing, good teams go for touchdowns. We sell for field goals.
That's correct.
I remember that when he said that.
That is
mind-boggling.
So somebody did this research. I think it was Joe Goodberry. And I probably won't get exactly right, but basically somewhere along the lines of Marvin Lewis goes, you know, between the 40 and 45 or 40 and 50 yard line, you know, fourth and one, fourth and two, Marvin Lewis punts the ball 82% of the time. The league average is 69% of the time. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, he just has he is just wired such that he is not going for it. Like, it's just not going to happen unless he absolutely has to. So, you know, say it's that fourth and one and it's the last 2 minutes of the game and you got to go for it because that's the only way you're having a shot at winning. Okay, he'll go for it then.
Right.
But if it's just regular old middle of the game, not saying it doesn't matter, but basically this particular possession doesn't matter because we're playing for the next possession type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's punting the ball, man. And Marvin even said in this press conference after the game, or it was either after the game on Monday, he even said in his press conference that he had already made up his mind on third down. Previous to Joe Mixon running the third down in one play, he had already made up his mind that he was going to punt the ball.
Wow!
I'm like, that's you didn't even stop to maybe possibly consider or be swayed or any of that. You're like, if Joe doesn't get this on third down, we're punting this ball. What?
You know what? I'm picturing the defense on the sidelines. Even Mixon himself going, "What the fuck?" I mean, you're picturing that in his head. In their heads, because this is your rival. Some might argue their arch rival, who they're trying to climb that proverbial mountain for the last few seasons, and you're going to just be passive about it. I mean, look, there's a lot of things. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I'm not trying to spare you more pain here. But I mean, just like a great Herman Edwards once said, you play to win
the game. Yes, sir.
On the podium, follow that up with a hello. You play to win the game. But speaking of playing not to win the game, what was up with that all-out blitz on like, it was 15 seconds left to go. What was up with that all-out blitz? You know that Robert Griffin would see that, right? They had to know that, right?
Right. And like, let me back up. I don't know if I necessarily have a problem with the all-out blitz per se, right? Because, look, you've been getting picked apart the whole damn game. It's not like sitting back and letting the play develop was a great idea, right? Because that pretty much got them where they were with the previous play of Juju Smith-Schuster just sitting wide open like 20 yards down the field in the middle of the field. So clearly that wasn't working. But, so I don't necessarily have an issue with the, all right, look, man, we just sent in the whole house because, you know, if we get a turnover, if we hit Ben has been known to just chuck a ball up in the air and, you know, get picked off or gets tipped.
Right.
Okay, so there's all sorts of scenarios that can happen there. What I had an issue with was, hey, their number one wide receiver and quite possibly the best wide receiver in the entire NFL is lined up against a dude who probably is slightly better than me at cornerback in the grand scheme of things, right? Versus Antonio Brown,
right?
I mean, look here.
Yeah.
If I walk up to the line of scrimmage and I see number 84 in black and gold across from me, or black and yellow, excuse me, across from me, I'm probably pretty concerned about what that dude is doing. And I'm not exactly sure what was going through Tony McCrae's mind at that point in time, but it clearly wasn't, hey, I'm over top of 84, and I really need to be concerned about what he's doing. Because if you watch the video, William Jackson says to him, hey, dude, slide over to 84. I got this dude on the outside. Apparently, Tony McCrae wanted no parts of that because he never slid over. He never slid over to AB. He was like, yeah, do you know who that is? That's Antonio Brown. I don't want to cover that dude. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not doing that. So,
right.
You know, that whole piece just never developed the way it should have happened. And I blame Marvin for that, too, of, hey, you got a dude who is, you know, fourth, fifth, maybe sixth, depending on how you look at it. Fourth, fifth, sixth on the depth chart at cornerback. I want to make sure that everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to be, and who they're supposed to cover. And if it looks like even remotely, maybe possibly you have no idea what's going on, I'm calling a timeout. Especially if we're sitting in the house with nobody over the top to help you, I'm calling a timeout.
What happens?
Well, then they run a pick play, which was illegal, by the way. Then they ran a pick play, which was illegal. And then, whatever. No, whatever. Whatever. It was a pick play. It was a pick play. It was a pick play that wasn't called. And, yeah, they scored a touchdown.
But it
wasn't matter, no way, because all you needed was a field goal to win. So, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the one thing I would say is I would have rather liked to watch Boswell at least attempt the kick rather than watch Antonio Brown run it.
And here's the thing, man. Here's the last thing I'll say on this, because, again, you know, you're not only my a fret brother of mine, you're my line brother. So I got to watch you back. All I have to say is this. Even if your defensive coordinator, the D coordinator, was hell-bent on showing that look, why, again, hindsight is 20/20, like a bug. Everyone gets that.
Yes, sir.
Why won't he, how about this, crowd the line of scrimmage, right? If you really want to mess him up, Big Ben up, crowd the line of scrimmage, and then bounce back in the zone. Why not disguise his own coverage, get Big Ben to make those crazy, that quick throw to Antonio Brown, and have a dude sitting in a spot in the zone, pick it off or bat it down.
Yeah.
Why not do that? Give him something to think about.
Or if you're going to do the all-out blitz, you know, either get to the quarterback or everybody throw your hands up, you know, to try and bat a ball, whatever, why is William Jackson, who is your best cover corner, not in press coverage versus Antonio Brown? If you're going to get beat,
that would have thrown off
if
the
you're going to get beat, right? If you're going to get beat, then dang it, I'm going to get beat with my best dude on your best dude. And if you best me because your best dude is better than my best dude, well, hey, more power to you. More power to you. Because that's my shutdown corner right there, right? He is the exact opposite of Artie Burns, who can't cover anybody.
Yeah,
sorry, that was a shot. But
no,
he is the exact
true.
Opposite.
I mean, he can't cover my son.
Right, exactly. So I'm just saying, like, if that's your best guy, why is he not where Tony McCrae is? And you let Tony McCrae take the dude who said the pick, and if he gets picked, fine. But I'll be damned if William Jackson is not right over top of Antonio Brown on that particular play. I'm not saying all the time.
Right.
I'm not saying he needs to follow Antonio Brown. I'm not saying he needs to be in the slot. No, I'm saying on that play where you're bringing the entire house, I'm going to put my best player versus your best player. And if your best player beats mine, more power to you.
Well said. Well said. It just, I wish, again, we both didn't go to the game. I haven't gone to that particular matchup down at Paul Brown in the last two seasons, but I'm just wondering, even before that score, when Joe Mixon, after Joe Mixon scored with only a minute left, and I'll get in that, and that will move the discussion on this, you had to be thinking to yourself. Those fans had to be thinking to themselves, oh my God.
Too much
here
time.
Here we go.
Time.
Here we go.
Like, it was terrible, terrible, terrible time management of that drive, right? I mean, the Bengals got the ball with, like, I don't know, maybe let's say three and a half minutes left. So you go into the proverbial
right.
4-minute drill of trying to run down the clock and score. Clearly, the number one issue is you got to score a touchdown. You have to, because if you don't, game's over. Sure. Understand that. Totally
right.
get that. But very close second is if and when we score, we cannot leave time for Ben to do what he does. Because there's a handful of quarterbacks, Ben, Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, you know, that you don't want, like, I'm not giving you that kind of time to beat me because I know you can and you will. And so, you know, if you want to start off the pace with hurry up, cool. You want to start off the pace, you know, make a couple run plays and then we got to pick it up and go. Cool. What the Bengals did was just dumb. They stayed in hurry up pretty much the entire time. And the couple times they took shots down the field was one was like some deep pass down the sidelines to Joe Mixon. And the other one was a deep pass down the sideline to Cody Core, who can't catch a cold. So both of those passes were incomplete. And the clock stopped both times. Right? And then you got Andy Dalton hiking the ball with 15 to 20 seconds left on the play clock every time. Pittsburgh is not calling a timeout right now. Why would you not let that play? I would not snap a ball until there were at least 1 to 2 seconds left on the play clock every single time. Not going to happen. If you're not going to call a timeout, then damn it, I'm going to run climb off the clock. Every play. And I don't understand why they didn't do that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, as they say, the rest is history. Now, since 2010, my Steelers are 15-3 against your Bengals, and which leads to why there are typically more Steelers fans at a home game in Cincinnati, Ohio, than Bengals fans. But
true enough.
I don't understand that either. anyway, let me just pile off of you. Let me just get off of you. They're not going to call the fight, so I'm just going to graciously step away, graciously help you up figuratively by the hand. That's you
I appreciate
all.
That, man. I appreciate
get
it.
You back, get you back in the
place. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean,
thank
hell,
you, thank you.
I give a lot of Bengals fans here hell. You already know that. So, I
yes,
mean,
sir.
It is what it is. It's time to move on. We're still not in first place, so we're moving on. Let's preview Week 7 games, shall we? Let's change this.
All right,
let's move a little bit. So, with tomorrow night's game, which is probably the toilet bowl game of the week, Denver at Arizona. I don't know who's watching this game. I don't know who anyone who gives a damn about this game outside of Denver, maybe anyone in Arizona for that matter. But
right.
since we have to pick games, I got to pick the Broncos. And God bless whoever has to call that crappy-ass game tomorrow night.
I'm going to agree with you and go Broncos as well.
There you go. Sunday, from London, England, and Wembley Stadium, near Oxford, you have Tennessee. This is my horrible English imitation here. Yeah,
right,
Tennessee
right.
at San Diego. I got the Chargers.
Yes,
San
Diego.
I'm still calling the Chargers San Diego. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
San Diego. That's right.
Yeah, I'm
totally
terrible like that.
Yeah.
Same reason
that's
why
right.
I call the Washington Wizards the Bullets. I'm stubborn like that. So. There you go. They're not no damn Wizards. They're the Bullets, damn it. New England, Chicago. At Chicago. At Soldier Field. I was almost right on New England losing.
No, you
I
weren't.
Was almost right last week, but they're not losing this week to Chicago. I don't care if it's on the road or on the moon. They're not losing to Chicago. I got the Patriots.
Yeah. Correct.
I wish it was the other way around, but we
right,
like
right. No, I'm totally with you, but nah, that ain't happening, bro.
Right. Buffalo, here's another crappy game of the week. Buffalo at Indianapolis. Can't believe, hard to believe the Colts are 1-5. But anyway, I got the Colts winning. As bad as the Indianapolis is, record-wise, Buffalo's worse. So I got Indianapolis winning at home in the snooze fest against Buffalo.
Only because they're at home. Otherwise, I would pick
right.
Buffalo in this game. Like, honestly.
Yeah, I would too.
Purely because Indianapolis is at home, I'll go Indianapolis. But that is the only reason I'm going Indianapolis. If it were in Buffalo, I would be saying the exact same thing. I would be like, I'm picking Buffalo only because it's in Buffalo. But because
only
it's in Indianapolis, we'll go Colts. Yeah.
What a shit show the AFC South is. But anyway,
ugh,
next
good
game,
God,
Detroit,
garbage.
This is terrible. This is terrible. I mean, hell, even you and I can feel the team win that division. Detroit at Miami. I got Miami at home only because they're home. Miami is a suspect to me, but they're playing at home. So I got Miami over the line.
I'm gonna go Stafford just to be contrary. No real reason. Literally, other than just to be kind. Only because Miami's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm not really sure
That's
who
true.
They are at this point. I'm not sure they know who they are at this point. And I think if Stafford likes to play either in controlled climates and or warm weather, I think he can do a pretty good job. I'll go Detroit.
All right. Next game, Minnesota at the New York Jets. Kirk Cousins
Minnesota.
Versus Sam
no.
Donald.
Minnesota. Minnesota all day long.
There you go. And the game that this is perhaps the most perplexing game of the week, Carolina at Philadelphia. Both teams, I don't know what the hell to expect from either team. To be honest with you, they're both hot and cold as hell. But it's in Philly. So on the strip of a billion in Philly, I got the Eagles in the tight game against the Panthers.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to go Cam. Oh, Cam.
Oh, my.
Cam. Yeah. I'm going to go Cam, baby. I'm going to go Cam. Come on, Carolina. Let's fight Cam.
I'm gonna go to fight Cam again. I don't know what to expect from either team, man. It's like the
no,
one team.
No, you're absolutely right.
Both of them. I mean, I can't call it anyway. Here's another game that's pretty interesting: Cleveland at Tampa Bay. It's a toss-up right here, man, because. You got a strong defensive team in Cleveland, a weak-ass defensive team in Tampa, but they're playing in Tampa, and I don't know what to expect from the Browns. I mean, they're like hot and cold, man, since they won their first game in like 1,000 years. Do I pick Jameis Winston over Baker Mayfield? Do I really trust Jameis Winston? Do I really trust this brother?
No, but do you really trust Hugh Jackson?
I don't trust him.
Right.
But that's
part of the problem. Like if it was just Baker versus Jameis, I'd be like, yeah, give me Baker. But like Hugh Jackson be making some there was a time where I really, really wanted Hugh Jackson to be the next head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
You weren't the only one.
After watching him in Cleveland, I'm like, I'm good.
And you know what?
Yeah,
I don't know. Word on the street had it that was that Marvin Lewis was wanting to really step down a few years ago when he was on the staff, wanted Hugh to be the guy and waiting. Mike Brown wouldn't allow it. I don't know how true that was. But
The other rumor is everybody was in agreement except for Hugh. Hugh wanted a head coaching job immediately and didn't want to wait, and Cleveland came open.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that explains it. Interesting. Well, be that as it may.
So, I'm going to go Jameis. I'll go Jameis because he's at home.
Yeah, as much as I don't want to pit Tampa, I really don't want to pit Tampa, because I think that Tampa's coach is more horrible than Hugh Jackson. You could believe that. But to your point, Tampa's playing at home. I can't trust the Browns on the road just yet. So I got Tampa in pretty much probably like a 6-3 game. I don't know. But anyway,
right.
Houston at Jacksonville. Remember I told you how much of a shit show the AFC South is? Well, you got two teams who at the top of the division at 3-3. Jacksonville, ever since beating New England, beating the pants off of them, have dropped the last three
games. Man, like a rock.
It's just crazy. It's crazy. And, I mean, actually, no, I take the bet. They've been 1-3 since then. And the thing is that they got their asses kicked by Dallas. They let Dallas score 40 points on them. This is the same Dallas squad that has Cole Beasley, or as Skip Bears would call him,
as their primary receiver.
Exactly.
As their number
40
one.
40 points.
Right.
40 points. 40 damn points. So here comes Houston, right? Here comes Houston rolling the town. They're feeling themselves. You know, Deshaun Watson is playing a lot better. I'm glad to see that, by the way. And Blake Bortles is back to being Blake Bortles. So with that being said, I don't trust the same Jacksonville team that also lost to the Tennessee Titans at home, by the way, by 9-6 score. I got the Texans moonwalking all over the Jaguars in this one. I don't see the Jaguars. Like, they haven't been the same since that New England game. So I got the Texans feeling themselves still and taking down Jalen Ramsey and Saxonville.
So I'm going to go Jacksonville. And I think they right the ship this week. It's a, you know, divisional game at home. I think if they fall to 3-4, especially with the personalities they have on the defensive side of that ball, and in that locker room, things could get real, real ugly in Jacksonville this week. And I think, you know, they stave off craziness and pandemonium. It won't be pretty. It'd probably be something like 14-12, something terrible. But something just absolutely ridiculous. But I think they right the ship and pull it out this week.
Okay. Here's a big game. This is probably my game of the week right here. New Orleans at Baltimore. Both of us cannot
come
stand
on
Baltimore.
New Orleans.
I can't stand Baltimore. Yeah, but dude, it's going to be 54 degrees tomorrow. Sunday in Baltimore. I don't trust the Saints in weather below 60 degrees. And the harsh reality is Baltimore's playing well. They're playing well.
Baltimore sucks, man. Baltimore sucks. They suck. They suck. Joe Flacco's garbage. I hate Baltimore.
But they're 4-2. They're 4-2.
I don't care. They're garbage.
If they beat New Orleans, they'll
be in
5-2 and control the division. Yes. Think about it.
So
think
stupid.
About it.
Like, they aren't good. Like, they're not good. They literally have a bunch of number 2 wide receivers as their wide receiving core. Like, none of those dudes are number 1 cats. All of them are complimentary dudes. They have 3 complimentary dudes at wide receiver. None of them are any good. Ah, it's so annoying.
Yes, and you know what? It's because of defense. The defense that Gerald Tall defense can still ball. I mean, T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, he's still that dude. And as long as they ride the defense.
It's insane, though. I know.
But I'll say this, though. They haven't seen a team like the Saints.
No,
Drew
they have
Brees,
not.
Alvin Kamara,
Michael Thomas.
Receiving core. Yes.
Yeah.
They haven't seen that.
Mark Ingram's got another week under his belt, conditioning-wise.
Yep. I just don't like their defense. But I'll say this, though. I got the Saints winning a tight game, but I'll tell you what. If Baltimore wins this game, they're in a driver's seat for the division, man. They just are.
They are. They are until they play the Bengals again and lose. I don't care. Like,
There you go.
I genuinely believe, like, anybody who's ever heard me on any podcast ever knows that I think that Joe Flacco is garbage. Like, he's straight up trash. I can't.
Well,
like, and it's not even anything personal against the dude. It's not like I'm like, you know, it's not like he's a Pittsburgh Steeler and I'm like, oh, I just hate Ben Roethlisberger because he plays for. No, I just think the dude is trash.
Yeah.
And so, he got paid off a really tight Super Bowl run. Congratulations to him, but he's garbage. And so I'm going with Drew Brees and New Orleans Saints, man. In a close game, like, because I do think that defense is better than any defense that New Orleans has faced this year. But at the same time, I think New Orleans offense is way better than any offense that that Baltimore has seen this year.
Yeah, oh, Skip Bayless calls Joe Flacco Joe Fluco, which is hilarious. The Rams at San Francisco, this is an ass whooping.
Even though
the Niners played well Monday night, but the Rams should win by two touchdowns at least.
Easy. Yep. Agreed.
Dallas at the Washington, the politically incorrect nicknames. Yeah. I want Washington to win so bad. I hate Dallas. I don't hate any team. Let's put it this way. I would pull for New England against Dallas. That's how much I hate Dallas. Okay. I hate Dallas. I grew up hating Dallas. Everyone who knows me knows I really hate the Cowboys. I know too many Cowboys fans that all annoy the hell out of me. I'll say this. If Dallas follows the same formula that they've used against Jacksonville in the week before, they should win this game. But the problem is, do you really trust Jason Garrett, his play calling? Do you really trust Jerry Jones pulling as a puppeteer behind the scenes? Do you really trust Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator, will be allowed to do what needs to be done? The answer is hell no. And this is against Washington on the road, mind you.
Uh-oh. Jay Gruden is not, like, the best play caller on the face of the planet either.
That's true, too.
Right? I mean, like, I watched the dude for 3 or 4 years here in Cincinnati, and I was kind of like, meh. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, like, he hasn't really blown me away in Washington to this point. Like, meh. He's all right.
He's just all right, right?
Yeah, he's all right.
So I assume you got Dallas.
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Moving
right along, unfortunately. Remember what I said about Baltimore being in the driver's seat? They beat the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Because your Bengals go to Kansas City.
Man, ain't no way in hell Kansas City is losing to the Bengals. after losing to New England. There is no way, holy hell, the Bengals are winning that game. Like, I don't know what the spread is. I don't know what the point spread is.
Yeah.
If it's less than 12, bet the line, son. Bet it. Bet it right now.
Oh, man. The Chiefs are favored by only 6 points. Can you believe that?
Dude, you take Kansas City and the points. And going about your business. I'm just telling you right. Look, man, the Bengals are beat up in the worst part to be beat up in the secondary. So you had William Jackson, who was gimpy all last week and was coming in and out of plays even during the Pittsburgh game. So he's beat up. You got Darquez Denard, who's our slot cornerback, his arm is still in a sling from last week. So he's clearly not going to play. Our starting safety is in concussion protocols. Like, the whole defensive secondary is just beat to shit right now. And so, like, you don't have any of those dudes available. One of the biggest weaknesses of the Bengals is the middle of the field and tight ends.
you're not only going to be facing a tight end, you're going to be facing potentially one of the top, I don't know, two to three tight ends in the entire league on Sunday in Travis Kelce, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Gronk, you got Ertz, and you got Kelce in whatever order you want to put those dudes in as far as dopest tight ends in the league. Not only that,
right,
you pair him with Tyreek Hill, who is, because John Ross can't get on the field, the fastest man in the NFL, who knows how to catch and run routes and catch touchdowns on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
With Travis Kelce coming across the middle with the little short bowling ball running back that they got, you know, on there's no way the Bengals are winning this game, man. It's just not. I would be shocked if the Bengals found a way to win this. And if they do, it's going to be similar to the New England game of where the Bengals, you know, win 43-40 or something, you know, something just absolutely crazy. Kansas City's defense is garbage, but
it is.
I just don't know without, I don't know if Ross is playing yet. And so you've lost Eifert. You don't have Croft. You don't have Giovanni Bernard. You may not have John Ross. So where I would normally say, well, the Bengals could probably score with Kansas City because their defense isn't mm-hmm. great. Like, we're down a ton of weapons on offense. We're beat up in the secondary, which is where you definitely don't want to be beat up versus Kansas City. Like, I
right.
just don't see a reason why the Bengals win this game.
Interesting. And last but not least, where the hell am I?
Monday night.
I'm off the pace, but – Monday night, which – how about that? How about this crap fest? If you thought that tomorrow night's game was going to be bad, who the hell thought that putting the Giants on Monday night would be a good idea?
Ever.
And put them against Atlanta at that. I know that Atlanta's underachieving more than we thought, but really?
Yeah.
Five,
that was a bad move.
More?
Yeah, that was a bad move.
And it's in Atlanta, so you know it's going to be an ass-whooping. So I'm going to take the Falcons, man.
Yeah.
It's not even
close. No, totally agree, and it won't be close. Falcons defense isn't great by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But Eli Manning is awful. So yeah, I definitely got the Falcons in that one.
And talk about a shit show. Nothing's a bigger shit show than the New York Giants right now. You hear the damn owner, the one of Mar boys, call out. OBJ. Jr.
Oh yeah.
He's like, you guys signed him. You guys knew what you had.
Right.
So shut up.
Shut up. Like, look, man, you made that bed. Lay in it, brother. You made it. You paid it. You made it. Lay in it. Shut up.
There you go. Exactly. All right, man. I've tortured you long enough, so you can go.
All right, brother.
Crying your beer or whatever you're drinking, or your latte or whatever, you're classy like that. And I'll be on at you, man.
All right, brother. We'll get at you soon. 06.
All right. Take care. Peace. That's my guy, Andre Edwards. Please check him out on LockedOnBengals.com to see what good stuff he's cooking up. I know he has some stuff on the website right now, some crazy content. So please check him out there. So we're going to wrap this podcast up with a little NBA season preview. Last night was technically the opening night, even though there were only two games, Philly, Boston, and OKC, and Golden State. There's not really much to say. I mean, hell, I'll try to make it exciting. Okay, there are lots of storylines about, even though we all know that there's no one beating the Golden State Warriors. Okay, I think that even Stevie Wonder could see that. No one's beating them. But there's lots of good reasons to pay attention this year. First of all, LeBron James being out west to play with the Lakers. We all knew that he was bouncing out of Cleveland. I just didn't know it would be the Lakers. But, hey, there's a lot of buzz and excitement out there. So LeBron being out of the comfort zone of the Eastern Conference to go out west is pretty huge. Kawhi Leonard being traded north of the border to the Toronto Raptors is something to watch. Boogie Cousins signing with the Golden State Warriors. When he becomes healthy again, works his way back, that would be even more formidable with Boogie. And, Tony Parker in Charlotte, whatever. But at any rate, look, the NBA is going to be fun this year. Again, even though we all know the Warriors are going to win it once again, but I think it'll be a fun process. Not so much in the Eastern Conference because you have the Eastern Conference is where the three top teams in the conference are all in the same division. That's in the Atlantic Division with Boston, Philly, and Toronto. Pretty much anyone outside of that is like, who cares, right? But since this is a sports podcast, and I have to poop you for everybody, I was going to give you who I think is going to finish in order in each division. So quickly start with the Eastern Conference with the Atlantic Division. I got Boston, Philly, Toronto, the Knicks, my Knicks, the Nets in that order. With Boston, Philly, and Toronto being the top, being the three teams in the playoffs. Central Division. I got Victor Oladipo and company in Indiana winning the Central, followed by Milwaukee, Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago. And by the way, if you, just for those who want to hate on LeBron, even though I'm not a fan of LeBron on the court, even though I'm a bigger fan of him off the court. Normally, any Cleveland game would be on prime time right now on ESPN. Not only are they not on TV, they're relegated to the other category of sports South. And they're getting asses kicked in Toronto, 104-93 right now. But at any rate, nevertheless, I had them being the eighth seed in the playoffs. And last but not least, Southeast Division, I got the Washington Bullets. I'm never calling them the Wizards again. I'm calling them the Bullets. Winning what should be a terrible Southeast Division with Charlotte coming in second, Miami third, Orlando, and Atlanta. So, 12 seed, and I mentioned it earlier, I got Celtics, Sixers, Raptors, top three seeds. Indiana, Milwaukee, Washington, Charlotte, and Cleveland to round at the bottom. And I got both Celtics moonwalking their way into the Eastern Conference Finals, winning a classic series against the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Hopefully it'll go more than five games this time and represent the East in the NBA Finals. So it wasn't conference. I already said it was going to be winning all. That no one's beating the Golden State. But again, this is a sports podcast. Just got to preview everybody. Let's go hit division by division. So Southwest Division, you got Houston, New Orleans, San Antonio, Dallas, and Memphis. Memphis is god-awful. Probably should have kept their coach from last season, who's now coaching my Knicks. How about that? I got Houston out of this division. I got Houston, New Orleans, and San Antonio making the playoffs. Northwest Division, got OKC, Utah, Portland, Denver, and Minnesota. It was hard for me to choose between Portland and Denver to finish third or fourth. I think they're both pretty much the same. I really like Denver, too. I mean, they have that center with a bunch of snipers around the three-point land. Very good young team. And I may be wrong, and Denver may be finishing ahead of Portland. It wouldn't shock me one bit. But I have OKC, Utah, and Portland as the playoff participants in that division. And, man, I got to give a mention to Minnesota. I mean, with Jimmy Butler calling out, first of all, any team, nobody normally will call out once a superstar, let alone two. I guess Carl Anthony Towns would be a superstar, and Andrew Wiggins would be a star. But for Jimmy Butler to do that and not get checked by anyone, including Anthony Towns and Wiggins themselves, that goes to show how weak that squad is. So they're good on paper, but they're crappy. Crappy in terms of chemistry and everything else. They had no business being the AC last year. They had too much talent, but they are what they are. In the Pacific Division, lastly, I got Golden State Warriors. Well, of course, we're finishing top of the division, followed by the Lakers, Phoenix, the Clippers, and the Kings. The Kings are just terrible, too. But one thing I'll say about LeBron, in case people forget how great LeBron is, everywhere LeBron has gone, he's taken that team to the finals, to at least the finals. And it may not happen for him this year, but I'll tell you what, he's going to get them to at least the conference finals. to face the Golden State Warriors. But, yo, if they do, if LeBron does lead them past Golden State, he's a GOAT. It cements as a GOAT. I mean, it's, you know, even if they lose to Boston in the finals, he's the GOAT. Because, again, this is the same Lakers squad that won 30-some-odd games last season. He's going to lead them to 51. Well, I got them going to 51 games this year. He's going to have them in the mix in the Western Conference, right? But if they – I'm just saying, if they get to the Western Conference Finals, which I think they will, to play Golden State, if they beat Golden State to get to the finals and keep LeBron's final streak intact, cement his ass as the GOAT. It's just that simple. And let me just do the plus here, speaking of which, in case you're wondering how everyone fits in with the Lakers, I got Golden State, of course, top seed, the Rockets being the second seed. Rockets losing Trevor Ariza and a couple of more valuable defenders and replacing them with Rudy Mello and everything, you know, they're going to take a step back. Followed by the Lakers. The Lakers will be a third seed. OKC, fourth seed. Jazz be the fifth seed. Be a rematch of open round last year. New Orleans, the sixth seed. San Antonio, Old Faithful, the seventh seed. And Portland, the eighth seed. Again, I didn't feel comfortable putting Portland there because I thought Denver would be there. I still think Denver would be there too in the eighth seed. By the way, they'll be the sacrificial lamb of the Golden State Warriors in the first round. So, of course, since I said I don't beat Golden State, I don't see anybody beating Golden State, I got to win the West. And I got the Warriors winning, which I think will be go 6 to 7 games. I think Boston is the only team that can hang with Golden State because they are deep and they're young and they're talented. They can go 9-10 deep easily. And that's what you need to match up with Golden State. And Boston can play two. You know, they could both play fast. They could play both fast and slow. So I think that'll make a great series. We never know what's going to happen because the ball may bounce a certain way and it'll go differently. But I think Golden State will beat Boston in a classic 6-game series. Yes, I don't think it'll go 7, but I think it'll be a classic anyway compared to what Cleveland did against them last year. So there you have it, my award-winning 2018-2019 NBA preview. And even though I don't think my Knicks will make much noise this year, keep an eye on Kevin Knox, folks. And when Kristaps Porzingis comes back after the All-Star break, once they gel together next season, and hey, free agency, folks, we're under the cap by a lot. KD, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, and Kyrie Irving be free agents. I think we'll get at least one of those guys. I'm excited. Anyway, until 2019, thank y'all for tuning to the podcast. Again, this is your boy, Scott Burks. Wish y'all a good night. Signing off, 06.